I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, Monday through Thursday, bringing you the news, bringing you the current events from a constitutional perspective, from an American principled perspective, in the face of the fake news and propaganda that you are inundated with every single day. I have here with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. And this is a huge day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge day. It's a huge day. President Donald Trump will be announcing his nomination for Supreme Court today at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yep. Coming soon, probably by the time some people will probably maybe even know by the time they listen to this show.
Yeah, probably. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. So we go through the picks, and apparently the media thinks that Trump announced that he has four final candidates, and the four final candidates are Brett Kavanaugh, they are Amy Coney Barrett, they are Raymond Kethledge, and they are Thomas Hardiman. The interesting thing is that, who is this right here? Politico. Politico has narrowed it down. They say Hardiman and Kavanaugh had emerged as the two late in the game favorites. I hope that's not true. Because of the four, they're my least favorites.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Well, who is this? Kavanaugh. Where is this? Yeah. So Kavanaugh, Kethledge, Raymond Kethledge, is contrary to Gorsuch's standard of Fourth Amendment and the government searching and seizing our phones. So right. Kethledge believes that it's okay for the government to search and seize our phones through third party.
Which would be the status quo.
Right, so which would be no the status. No, it would be no change. It would be the status quo, but it would certainly not be an advancement.
In that arena.
In that arena, right?
Not.
So I don't like that idea. Hardiman.
And like we said before, everybody's got their blind spots. That's probably one of the most typical. First off, let me say this. These four justices, the four potentials, mm-hmm. are probably as good as you're going to get.
Right.
You know, considering
what
they would choose.
I would say, considering what they would choose. They're not as good as you can get.
No,
but,
and that's why I didn't say as good as you can get, period. It's
right.
as good as you can get given what they will choose. Because
mm-hmm.
obviously there are people that would be better and would more strictly adhere to the Constitution's intent. But that's not a person that's probably going to be nominated in our current environment.
Well, but we do. We have Kavanaugh and Barrett.
Yeah, they get really, really close. That's why I say it's probably as close as you're going to get is somebody out of these four. But, of course, you're saying the two are probably the least in that direction.
The least in that direction, absolutely. I think Kethledge at this point would be an Alito guy. He would be akin to Alito. See, the problem is that Trump has set a really high standard with Gorsuch. Okay, so, you know,
well,
I don't see why we need to go backwards.
But let's say this now. I think, you know, being devil's advocate, as they say, I don't know that we've seen Gorsuch issue an opinion in all realms, in all spheres.
No, well, that's true.
So,
but I mean, so far.
You just may not know his blind spot.
Right. Oh, that's right. His blind spot. Right. We need to know his blind spot. Hardiman, I cannot get behind in any sort of way. He has written multiple dissents regarding the First Amendment about taping police officers. So according to Hardiman, you don't have a right to videotape police officers when they're in their line of duty, right? And they're engaged in their public service, which would mean what most people don't really understand is those cases come about because local municipalities and counties have made it against the law to do that. Which means if you videotape a police officer, it's not just telling you no, it is a criminal offense.
Yeah.
Hardiman is not the direction we want to go.
Well,
he also, and this may be controversial for us, but he has also said that strip searching inmates doesn't violate Fourth Amendment protections of unreasonable search and seizure.
Yeah, talk to the Bundys about that.
Right, exactly. Because here's the bottom line. Simply because you are incarcerated doesn't make you a slave. You have to maintain basic human rights. You know, I had somebody ask me the other day, this is really going to chap some people, I'm sure. Why do illegal aliens have the right to due process? Mm-hmm. Well, because the right to due process is a fundamental natural right.
A natural right.
And
we
just
hold these truths to be
self-evident.
We are endowed with certain inalienable rights, endowed by our Creator from certain inalienable rights. And I agree with you. It's shocking sometimes because you're not talking about liberals saying this and anti-constitutionalists saying this. You're talking about people in the liberty realm and that's sort of the pulse of the day. And the same people who will want to emphasize that our rights are God-given in the same breath will say, well, you're not a citizen. You don't deserve these protections. Well, if they're God-given, it doesn't say Americans are endowed by their Creator.
Right.
Right?
Right.
With certain inalienable rights. It says all men, everyone. If these are natural rights, then they inherently belong to every living human being.
Well, even the Constitution says so. The Sixth Amendment says in all criminal cases.
Right. And that's the other thing. If you are going to be... So they're saying, okay, you violated a law here in the United States and you're going to be prosecuted under U.S. law, then how can you say then the person doesn't deserve due process? That's really inconsistent.
The problem becomes, again, with the confusion, right? So if you have been charged with being in the country illegally, then you have a right to due process to prove whether you are here illegally or not. If you are not in the country yet and you demand access, now that's a whole different story because, number one, we don't have jurisdiction over you in another country. Mm-hmm. And number two, your assertion falls outside the borders of the country, falls in a completely different realm.
Well, and compare that to the position of the lefties and our no border libertarian brethren who are basically saying anybody should be able to come in and do whatever and receive whatever benefit and there should be no such thing as borders, and so therefore any sort of prosecution or check or anything is unwarranted. I think that's extreme. I think that that flies in the face of one of the foundational principles upon which this nation is built, and that is property. So that runs counter to the concept of property.
Yeah.
So the same people who argue this about the nation at large would not make that same argument about their house, their yard, you know, so people, you had 40 people come and pitch tents on your yard or just walk into your house and decide they're going to sleep on your couch, and you have no legitimate right to say anything about it. So that's the same kind of thing when you're saying really no borders mm-hmm. in America, you're just broadening that to a national scale. And I think that then runs counter to the idea of property, national and state sovereignty, which is at the core of the contract we call the Constitution. So that whole no borders position and the left, of course, the left, they just want people that they can enlist in their party to vote for them. But the whole no borders position to me flies in the face of definition of property and the concept of property. And you're basically saying you don't believe in the Constitution, period, because the notion of sovereignty, state sovereignty, is at the heart of that. And so if there are no borders, then there is no state sovereignty.
Yeah, there's no sovereignty. There's no sovereignty if you don't have control over your property, which, again, it boils down to property issues. But I want to mention to people that Thomas Paine has an amazing quote about the avidity to punish. And he says that it will allow men to take laws and warp them and twist them and stretch them. He said, but then you got to be careful, because how you apply that law will be applied to you one day. And so the whole point that I'm trying to make here is, if you have a Supreme Court with justices who believe that your rights come from the Constitution.
Right.
They don't come from the inherent nature of your creation. If you have Supreme Court justices who believe that the government can define when and where due process applies.
Exactly.
When and where your rights are invoked.
Yeah.
Then you had better be careful, because in this day and age, in this fast-tracked Marxist socialist generation that we're raising up, it could very well be a situation where you're on the other end, where they're saying you don't get those rights. Look right. at the Bundys, right? I mean, they were held without bond. They were strip searched. Their rights were completely violated in ways, I'm going to tell you, as a former prosecutor, in ways that drug lords never saw. Right. Murderers never saw.
And I listen, again, the government is a reflection of the people, not the other way around. And this is sadly a very popular point of view amongst Americans, conservative mm-hmm. or otherwise, when it comes to the state. There's really all power granted to the state mentality.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I am here with you today, Chris Ann Hall, and my husband, JC Hall. And JC, I just want to tell our listeners about one of our sponsors of our show. His name is Richard Kramer, and he does engravings. I mean, beautiful engravings. He told me that it takes 1 minute to cut a 1-inch line continuously. He engraves guns, knives, jewelry, but he prefers engraving guns. And you and I know this because we have some of his work here at our house.
A beautiful Kimber engraved, and just, I mean, it is gorgeous. He does amazing work. He does beautiful work.
You know, did you know that he does all his own artwork? Not only that, he can sculpt precious metal overlays. And he does this for, like people like you and me.
Yeah.
He says that he can grave jobs from 500 to 500,000. There's no limit. It's just based on the budget of the person. And I just want to encourage people, if you want that extra special gift for someone, if you have a gun lover, if you have a special piece of jewelry that you want to get for mom or grandma or for your wife, you can contact Richard Kramer Engraving at richardkramerengraving@gmail.com. He has a Facebook page, Richard Kramer Custom Engraving. And you can also find him at Instagram at RK Engraving. We're going to post up the picture of our Kimber.
Yeah.
Because it's just absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
And this is a unique and special gift. Remember, Richard Kramer Engraving. Pretty cool, huh?
Yes, yes.
We are not statists at the Chris Ann Hall Show.
No, and you know, it's, as I said, again, I don't have a huge high hopes for, I mean, this is not the salvation of the Republic and whatever nomination, but let me tell you the positive thing of this. Historically, in the last, last several decades, the Democrats and leftists, have really used the court mm-hmm. to kind of bypass the governmental structure set up by the Constitution.
And
right?
Mostly they've used the lower courts. That's the big deal.
Yeah,
these lower federal courts have become a instead of a bulwark to tyranny, they've become a bulwark to liberty.
Right. So I think the one thing that will come out of this, regardless of who the choice is out of those four, that you will kind of get a backstop to mm-hmm. that. You know, they're going to run up against a court that says, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. So that's the positive part to me. You're probably, you know, hold your breath on getting the justice that is going to be on target in every sphere and every aspect of our rights, and you'll be the blue guy sitting in the corner. You're probably not going to get that guy in this current environment. There's too much ignorance. There's too much statism in mm-hmm. in the Republican Party and in the conservative movement. They don't even know it. But it's there. And so, you know, that's what you're dealing with. But I think you're going to see a diminished threat of this sort of active using hijacking the court mm-hmm. for this activism when you can't get your way by legitimate means.
Well, I have a good inclination that my two preferences, Kavanaugh and Barrett, are the right choices because Mitch McConnell doesn't like those two. And he also said that he believes that GOP Senator Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska are not going to like them either.
Well, and that's their focus.
I know I'm on the right track, right?
Yeah, because that's their focus. Their focus is getting a win, like getting someone there. Okay, so even if Mitch McConnell personally preferred the other two, which I doubt he does, but even you know, even if your wildest dreams, even if he did, right? His idea is because of Collins and these others, and because of not winning Democrats, if we have to, you're not going to get them on the bench. So they're looking for a win. And they're not confident that they can get these other
guys.
Can
I just jump in here? Because that really irritates the mess out
of
me.
I've been hearing this
win thing. What do we win? What do we win if we keep the Senate and lose the Constitution? It's like, what does a man gain if he loses his soul? And that's the battle here.
There again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find strange. For I am not one.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. I'm so happy to be here. This is the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal with my husband, J.C. Hall. We're talking about this big multimedia event at 9 p.m. today. Donald Trump will pick his candidate, his nomination for Supreme Court. And I've been listening to the pundits, and I've been listening to the talking heads and the news people, and they're all talking about this win thing. We got to win. And what they're thinking is that if he picks the wrong nomination, then it will drive the Senate elections in the direction of the Democrats. So it will give the Democrats a rallying point. If we don't win the Senate, then this is the nomination that we're going to get, or possibly, you know, I mean, I don't think that they can drag it on that long, or possibly this is going to be the direction of the next nomination, because everybody knows Ginsburg is not around for much longer, right? So here's my issue. Why is it that we are so bent, we have politicians so bent on doing the politically correct thing, and I don't mean like First Amendment speech thing, but I mean doing the thing that's politically advantageous instead of constitutionally advantageous? What do we win if we maintain this, quote, air quote, Senate GOP if we lose the Constitution in the meantime?
Well, as I understood what many were saying, the win that I hear them talking about is winning the nomination, winning the confirmation, getting someone on the bench. Now,
yeah, no, that's not what they were talking about on Fox yesterday.
What I would, I mean, if it were me, I would put forth the what I thought was the best candidate, the most constitutional nomination.
Absolutely.
Right? And if they didn't make it through confirmation, then put up the next guy. You know, the way I see it is, why would you go ahead and surrender beforehand? You don't know. You don't know that they're not going to make it through the confirmation. Why don't you go ahead and do it?
Why don't we do what's right for America?
Right.
What's right for the Constitution instead of what's right for the political party? And so I get so irritated. It's like we lose before we even try.
Yeah, well, that's a Republican tradition, I guess. I like I said, I would put forth the best, see what happens, you know, you go for it. I mean, you have the Senate, you have the House, you have the presidency, you know, come on, take your chance, strike while the iron's hot.
Why are the liberals freaking out about a Supreme Court that's going to overturn precedent? If we have a constitutional Supreme Court, the only precedent that's going to be overturned are opinions that should have never been there in the first place.
Well, they're not interested in what's constitutional. I mean, that's an easy question.
I would love to see Barrett get the nomination because Schumer says the Trump SCOTUS pick must divulge Roe v. Wade thoughts. I want to see Barrett in a confirmation hearing and watch these senators devolve into a religious test.
Right.
Devolve into this and show their bigotry
and
right there.
That's why I say put forth the one that you think is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, make them have to reveal themselves. Make them have to act like who they are. They are religious bigots. I mean, mm-hmm. they're unhinged. They're radical. You look at what is her name? Michelle Wolf or whatever. The
Yeah, that's her name.
We
have her
so-called
up here,
comedian.
Michelle Wolf, right.
Yeah, so you look at that God bless abortions and all of her radical nonsense. I mean, the equivocation, they say that abortion kills babies. It doesn't kill a baby. It stops a baby from happening. That's the kind of liberal
abstinence stops the baby
right.
from happening.
That's the liberal loony logic that you're dealing with and the complete void of morality. If the Democrats think that middle America Democrat supports this, I say let them have it, man. I say put the nominee up there. Let them show who they are. And I believe the Democrat Party will eat itself. It will destroy itself because a large portion of Democrats, I mean, we know Southern Democrats, people
mm-hmm.
here that vote
right.
Democrat, they don't support that nonsense. They
right.
don't support this lunacy. I mean,
there's a large Catholic contingency that are Democrat as well, and if they are to crucify Barrett, you know, I mean, seriously.
That's where the Republicans are lousy at seizing. And when you talk about doing what's right, you know, seizing political opportunity.
They need a lesson in the art of war.
They stink at it. I mean, this would be perfect. But it tells me that they've been convinced that the entirety of the Democrat voters are represented by these radical lunatics. I say they're not, okay?
Right,
and so I say
too.
Let the radical element put themselves on parade. Let them destroy their own party. If Susan Collins and all these knuckleheads want to associate themselves with the radical fringe of the Democrat Party, let them do it. Because if that is such a fine line that Susan Collins and these what's her name, Snow, Olympia Snow, if that's the line that they have to walk, then make them make a decision. Are you a member of the radical left or are you not? And then let the voters decide, because I really don't think that the voters that voted Collins and these moderate Republicans into office, I do not think that the majority of them support the radical fringe of the Democrat Party. So I just think this is bad strategy. I think you ought to just go for broke. Do everything that you think you can while you have the opportunity, and let them expose themselves and let the American people decide.
Well, it's like I said, you got to do what's right because it's right. You got to do what's constitutional because it's constitutional. And taking this perspective of we must compromise before we even set out there. See, I think that's sort of contrary to Trump's whole art of debate. Everybody knows that when you're in a negotiation, you start at the your golden dream,
extreme.
The most extreme, and then you work down. And so,
which is typically what he does,
right? So I'm really, really hoping. And like I said, I don't like. I am not of the four choices that we have. I am absolutely not a fan of Hardiman. I'm not a fan of Kethledge, and I think that Kavanaugh would be a good pick, but we don't, he has the Star report behind him.
Well,
so
let's be
he's
clear.
He's really going to make the Dems mad about
let's
that.
Let's be clear. Even the worst will be better than Kennedy. But as you said, certain areas are going to be status quo.
Right, right. Well, not anymore, though. Because the status quo was actually changed about the Fourth Amendment, in which... Kethledge supports the old status quo. This new court actually has come away from that perspective. Actually, as a matter of fact,
the problem is that
the case, that Fourth Amendment case that the Supreme Court was handling was his case.
But
so they overturned him.
But that position is popular with Republicans, whether you like it or not. I mean,
yeah.
That Republicans support that stuff.
Right, but my point is that the Supreme Court overturned Kethledge in that Fourth Amendment case to head in a better direction, and to put him on the court could possibly move us backwards in that direction. And I understand there's a lot of people that don't agree with that backwards direction of that, the ruling and of that opinion. Excuse me. See, even I slip sometimes. But it's because we have such a lack of education about our Constitution. We have a sponsor here at the Chris Ann Hall Show, a film called In Search of Liberty. You can find this movie at insearchofliberty.com. And it's really a fun flick. And it's all about how a family wakes up to the understanding that they have no understanding at all about the Constitution.
Right.
And then in this sort of time travel fantasy kind of way, a founder of our America shows up in modern day and takes the family on a journey learning about the liberties within the Bill of Rights. And it's just a fun way to expose the family to the Constitution. It's a fun way to expose maybe friends and family that wouldn't necessarily sit down and say, hey, this is movie night. We're going to watch this movie called In Search of Liberty. And the whole beginning of the movie is this realization. What's the Constitution? I don't even know how the characters in the movie, like, when was the last time you read the Constitution? I don't know, maybe in grade school? And so insearchofliberty.com is a great way to open up that kind of conversation. I love conversation openers.
I tell you what I was thinking with this movie, In Search of Liberty. You buy it, and then you set up, like some towns have this sort of movie on the green, movie on the square, you know,
right.
Get this movie, In Search of Liberty, and, you know, you can go down to your town square, mm-hmm. your public, whatever, in the park,
mm-hmm.
and set up a, you know, advertise free movie night, whatever, get popcorn, and just get somebody to sponsor, have popcorn and drinks to give away, and then set up this movie. Man, that would be an awesome way.
And then have a booth where you sign up people to start a group of Liberty First University students.
Yeah.
Right?
It'd be great.
I think that would be the perfect matchup because obviously this movie is an hour and 30 minutes long. You're mm-hmm. not going to learn everything you need to learn about the Constitution. It's not an in-depth sure. study. But awakening people to understanding of what they don't know,
yep.
right? What did our friend Barbara say?
You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. Yeah. So you wake these people up.
That's a good fun way. In Search of Liberty.
Or InSearchOfLiberty.com, and then get everybody to sign up for Liberty First University.
It's funny what I always have this sort of fantasy of I wish I'd go back in time and then I would, you know, sit down
mm-hmm.
with Benjamin Franklin.
Nah,
James Madison. I'm talking about convention.
Yeah,
folks
yeah.
are at the convention because
yeah.
I want to sit down with. The reason I would go to Benjamin Franklin first, right? Because I'm a time traveler, and I figure he would be the one to least freak out. And then I would tell him to invite the others and say, okay, why don't you take care of this?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Here we are at the last segment of the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal on this historic, huge day.
Huge.
Huge day. And I'm just, by the time you've listened to this, maybe you're already seeing the results. I don't know. But it's just fun to talk about. I got one thing that I wanted to talk about before we move on, and it's just a little crazy thing that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. There are Democrat members of Congress that are demanding that the U.S. House declare feminine hygiene products to be reimbursable at taxpayers' expense.
Yeah.
And the thing is
hooray.
Right. They're like, here's this statement. You cannot believe this. This statement is a letter to House Speaker Paul Ryan, right? Because apparently he sets the budget, whatever. We applaud you, I'm quoting now, we applaud you for making toilet paper available free of charge in every restroom in the Capitol complex under your control. Similarly, we applaud you for making paper towels available as well. We implore you, however, to go one step further and make feminine hygiene products available to those who need them to bring sanitation and relief to thousands of congressional employees, visitors, and members of Congress alike. So apparently for $174,000 a year, you can't buy your own stuff.
Yeah.
you're just speechless. I don't know. It's just crazy to me. This is the entitlement mentality. So now if Congress gets this stuff for free, when's the legislation come that says that you have a right to these things and you should be able to go down to your grocery store and demand that somebody give them to you?
I think why I was speechless, because I was trying to process the toilet paper, paper towel thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, those are, they buy that. They stock the bathrooms with that. But it seems to me those are connected with what those facilities are provided for. Is feminine hygiene products connected with going to the restroom? Is that something?
Well, yeah.
What I'm saying is that...
Yeah, but not for everybody, though.
What I'm saying is, so you... Don't you do that at home? And then, I mean, that's something you prepare. I don't know if we should even be talking about this on the radio, but you... I don't know. Is that connected to that?
It's the whole point is that it's, you know, you don't carry around your own roll of toilet paper in your purse.
Right.
But you do carry around those things. And the idea that I should have to pay for Dianne Feinstein and her staff to have products that I also have to pay for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But are you okay with paying for the toilet paper?
Well, I mean,
and the paper towels.
I guess I am, yeah. Because
I'm just trying to separate the logic, because
right?
Are they actually making a good point? How is that all connected? I don't know.
As a woman, I don't think that's a very good point.
Okay.
But once again, it's based on this.
I mean, if they didn't have toilet paper in the stalls, I'd be carrying around something, I guess.
When does it stop?
Right. There's the question.
That's my question.
I don't know.
When does it stop?
It's just kind of bizarre to me.
And here's the thing. If you want to provide this for the staff in your office, we've seen that. I mean, there are businesses that do that.
There are businesses that do that, yeah.
Right? There are businesses that do that. But they don't come to me for my money to do that.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So don't give them my money to do that. Tell them if you want to do that as a generosity to your staff members, then you do it for them.
Yeah. Well, they made the same argument. I mean, Democrats make the same argument with the birth control items. So I don't know. I mean, of course, Democrats make that argument with everything. Free
and
education,
that is my
free
point.
Birth control, free everything. Everything's free, free, free. That's why I think Bernie Sanders almost would have been the antidote to all of this. He would have given free everything to everyone. Then he would have destroyed the American economy and they'd realize how much free stuff actually cost and maybe they'd get over this thing.
Yeah, well, I agree with James Polk. If they want to do this, it needs to be deducted from their wages and not from our taxpayers' dollars. Well, we'll see you guys again tomorrow, and by then we'll know who the nomination is. God bless. See you then. I was one.